60 AM Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A critical test vote today in the Senate on war funding for Ukraine, even though it could fail as Republicans fight over border security.
Ukraine desperately needs more ammunition and weapons from the U.S. as Russia's sheer size and brute force tactics generate steady gains on the battlefield. But Republican House Speaker Mike Johnson has drawn a line in the sand, declaring that any new funding is contingent on transformative change to our nation's border security laws. Republicans insist that Democrats and President Biden must agree to toughen U.S. asylum laws and build more border wall, among other demands.
That's ABC's Terry Moran in Washington. President Biden last night at a closed-door fundraiser in Massachusetts, saying that he probably wouldn't be running for re-election if Donald Trump wasn't in the race again. Trump at a Fox town hall last night asked whether he would retaliate against his political opponents if reelected, telling Sean Hannity he wouldn't be a dictator except for on day one. This is ABC News. College athletes may be a step closer to getting some sort of payment for playing. ABC's Andrew Dimbert says the NCAA is out with a new proposal.
In a letter to Division I schools, NCAA President Charlie Baker proposes creating a new subdivision that would allow participating programs to offer compensation to athletes. Under the proposal, schools would now be allowed to enter lucrative name, image, and likeness deals with athletes. They'd also be required to invest a minimum of $30,000 per athlete each year into a trust fund for at least half their athletes. That investment would have to adhere to Title IX, meaning equal distribution for men and women. The idea already catching on, a top official at Ohio State University saying he's 100% supportive.
But so far, there's no timeline for putting it into effect. A hard lesson about the value of every vote. Damian Green was running for city council in Rainier, Washington, but did not vote for himself because he says he doesn't like to. In his words, toot his own horn, Green lost by one vote. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Time out.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A Dane County judge ruled Tuesday that the 1849 law that was interpreted as an abortion ban does not actually ban consensual abortions. Following the Dobbs decision last year, state officials pointed to that law to criminalize all abortions. Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin praised the judge's decision, calling it a step forward to restoring access to abortion across the state. Still, this is likely not the final ruling on the matter, and the case is expected to make its way to the state Supreme Court. Wisconsin and Minnesota are asking for more than $1 million to replace the John A. Blatnick Bridge between Superior and Duluth. The span is critical for connecting the two states. 33,000 vehicles use it every day, but it's 60 years old, and the governors say it's in bad shape. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Badgers win again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. In men's college basketball, the Wisconsin Badgers pulled away at the end and beat the Spartans at Michigan State, the final 70-57. A.J. Storr with 22 points, Stephen Crowell with 18, including this three-pointer to put it away.
Crowell left open again. He can't miss! Stephen Crowell!
NBA, the Milwaukee Bucks went into high gear, dismissed the New York Knicks, 146-122. So now the Bucks advance in the NBA's first ever in-season tournament. They're going to face the Pacers in Las Vegas Thursday afternoon at 4 o'clock, 146 points. What's that say about this team, Malik Beasley?
That we can be really good. With a playoff mentality game, it shows that we can, like I said yesterday, you never know because it was only one game instead of four games. So I'm proud of us. We start punching hard, and we made them call the first time out in the second half, so that was huge.
That's the Bucks forward, Malik Beasley. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies expected today, with daytime highs approaching 43. South winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Lows around 27 tonight. High of 50 tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 24.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station. UK.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Back now. Hello. Hi. It's 7:06 on this Wednesday, December 6th. National Saint, well, it's Saint Nicholas Day. It's National Day of Remembrance and Action on Violence Against Women. It is National Miners Day, not the kids, but the people who dig, dig, dig. And National Gazpacho Day. You know who you are. We have a very busy show coming up here this hour. We're going to be talking to Kristen Lyerly in a moment about the story you just heard at the top of the hour about the 1849 law being legally determined not to be an abortion ban. There is also a new set of Republican-sponsored proposals that would clear the way for professional licensing and more for undocumented immigrant workers in Wisconsin. A bit of a surprise. We'll talk to Tony Gonzalez, who's been working hard on trying to win over hearts and minds in the legislature on that issue. Referendums are ramping up in Wisconsin because the legislature has been busy prioritizing tax cuts for the wealthy instead of making targeted investments in things like education. So as a result, Wisconsin Republicans continue sitting on a multi-billion dollar budget surplus, even as school districts around the state are forced to consider another round of referendum campaigns. We'll review where taxpayers may be asked to again step up where the legislature is failing them with Denise Gomer-Hutchison. That's coming up. We'll have the weatherology forecast. We'll talk to Todd Alba. So much more along the way. And our phone number here is 844-967-2789. Greg Bach is in Waukesha. Dr. Kristen Lyerly is in Green Bay and joins us now. Dr. Lyerly, good morning. And I guess congratulations are in order since you're a party to the lawsuit that Dane County judge ruled on yesterday.
I would say it's a great morning.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think?
Well, it's no longer a surprise after what she ruled back in July, but this now applies to the full lawsuit that says what she first said in July, that this 1849 law is not an abortion ban. And while, yeah, there may be an appeals court, hearing at some point, there may be a state Supreme Court picking it up. This is landmark.
I think the most important thing that we need to keep in mind is that this ruling says that abortion is again legal in Wisconsin. So across the state, like for my friend who texted me yesterday and said, I have a patient who was just diagnosed with a baby who has a fetal anomaly, a condition that is not compatible with life. Can I send her to the hospital to induce her labor? Yesterday morning, she couldn't, but today she can. And now that woman and her family will be able to be taken care of in the community where they live surrounded by people they care about, their family, their faith leaders, the doctor who has been taking care of them, because this law is no longer a barrier.
It's not, because, again, now a 1985 law, which essentially mirrors the protections of Roe v. Wade, will supersede that. And so from a legal standpoint, Planned Parenthood had decided a couple of months back to resume services in Madison and Milwaukee, and I would assume eventually Sheboygan as well. But as you pointed out to me, the judge in the case, she did not put out a permanent injunction barring district attorneys from trying to prosecute, you know, doctors under this law. But that's because she basically, what, got a pledge from the DAs that they would abide by this?
We sought an injunction for what we considered like a belt and suspenders approach. Like, we wanted to make sure that once she issued her ruling that we were able to provide abortion care again. But we didn't need the injunction because everybody, all the parties agreed to abide by this ruling. So that is why immediately, as soon as she issued this ruling, abortion is legal again in Wisconsin.
But I have to ask the follow-up, because again, at some point, Planned Parenthood will probably resume services in Sheboygan. The Sheboygan County DA was part of this case, has certainly been the one most likely to try to prosecute doctors, but is now pledging to abide by this court ruling. Are there any trust or verification issues, you know, that you think that'll come up in Sheboygan County?
Well, I think that the chilling effect of this law in general is going to continue to linger, especially in Sheboygan County, because that's really where the crux of the case has been. And I was the provider there. So what this case really came down to was me versus Ermansky. But at this point, even though he has publicly stated that he would like to prosecute this law, it's not a law that he can prosecute at this point.
We have an article about this over at UpNorthNewsWI.com. We have a statement from Planned Parenthood that thanks Attorney General Josh Call and Governor Evers for helping bring the case and for helping bring clarity. But, you know, again, Kristen, this is it only, again, for the umpteenth time, reinforces the importance of last April's state Supreme Court election.
100%. We feel so much more confident now that we feel like the state is trending in a positive direction. And I would share that I was in Minnesota last week talking with a bunch of my colleagues where they have made the state a much better place for women and families. And one of my colleagues actually told me that she's doing abortion care in her office like it's a regular doctor's appointment. Patients show up, they have a need, they are presented with options, they have time to think about what the best thing is for them, and they are able to receive the treatment that they need right then and there with their own doctor. That is my vision for people here in Wisconsin as well, and we're going to keep fighting until we get there.
Well, and it also means that we can't just talk about the importance of the April state Supreme Court election, but the election and then re-election of Tony Evers. Mm-hmm. As governor, if he had not been there and is still not there, to veto abortion restrictions that would have come down from the legislature. But I really think, along with mentioning Governor Evers and Justice Protasiewicz and Attorney General Call, I really have to call out you and all of your OBGYN colleagues and other allies who have, I think, immensely helped educate the general public into. And again, my apologies if this is an insensitive term, but this concept of, you know, vending machine abortions, like, you, people are just terminating pregnancies just because they don't feel like it. And the issue is so much more than that. And I don't think a lot of people, I don't know that I would have if I weren't married to an OBGYN, you know, appreciate the depth and the complexity of pregnancy and complications and women's health overall.
We're used to having these conversations in the exam room, but we are not, as physicians, we're not trained, we're not comfortable having these conversations in the political arena. But our hands have been forced, and that's why you've been seeing my colleagues in places where you otherwise wouldn't see them, trying to help people understand what this means. This is not that black and white ugly decision that politicians want you to believe it is. This is truly healthcare. It's thoughtful, it's individualized, it's necessary, and it will never go away because it is so fundamental to actual healthcare, actual women's healthcare. So I couldn't be more proud of my colleagues. I'm so grateful for the support of Planned Parenthood and Attorney General Call and Governor Evers. And, you know, to your point about electing the governor and the Supreme Court justice, these were statewide elections, and Wisconsin made very intentional decisions that they weren't able to make on a local level because of how grossly gerrymandered we are. So that just tells us what we need to do next fall.
And on it will go, because, again, because of the repeal of Roe v. Wade, this will be a state line. You know, the states will be the front lines for many years to come. So these rights will have to be defended, enhanced, or put back, you know, over and over again. So we thank you for clarifying all of that. You want to tell us quick about Hometown Health tomorrow morning?
We're going to talk about the nursing shortage. So I always talk about the doctor shortage, especially in rural parts of the country. But there's a giant nursing shortage, and we are doing something about it here in Wisconsin. So we are going to talk to two nursing educators, not just nursing educators, but like big deal nurses tomorrow, about how they are educating more nurses and getting them out where they need to be, helping us, serving us. You know, everybody loves nurses. So let's honor them and continue to elevate what they're doing, because they help us.
We will look forward to that tomorrow. Dr. Kristen Lyerly, thank you so much. Congratulations again. And we'll see you tomorrow morning.
Have a great day, guys.
All right. 7 o'clock temperatures around Wisconsin, across Civic Media land, look like this. 26 here in Lake Wasota, 25 in Hayward. Park Falls is at 23. Wausau, 26. Green Bay reporting 31 degrees. La Crosse, 28. Wisconsin Rapids, 29. Oshkosh, 30. It's 30 in Madison. It's 30 in Waukesha. And now it's time to check the full forecast for midweek here with meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki from Weatherology joining us now. Jennifer, good morning.
Good morning. Well, it does look like we can expect to see partial sunshine expected across the board today, mid to upper 30s for most, a little bit warmer for western Wisconsin, Amory Baldwin down to Richland Center, as a warm front begins to enter the state today. Temperatures there getting into the low to mid 40s. Thursday, sunshine for all, warmer as well as that system pushes through, mid to upper 40s primarily, warmer again for those western Wisconsin listening areas with highs getting into the low 50s. Friday, it looks like cloudy skies from Madison up towards Wausau, Wisconsin Rapids, and over towards Amory and Baldwin. Otherwise, sunny skies for the other listening areas. Looks like warmer for nearly everyone as that warm front fully pushes through, though a cold front directly behind that system starts to come in for west central Wisconsin, so starting to cool there. Highs in the mid to low 50s from Richland Center through southern Wisconsin, mid to upper 40s from Oshkosh through central and west central Wisconsin. For the weekend, Saturday looks like mid to low 40s from Oshkosh through southern Wisconsin, with a chance for some rain showers for the day, mid to upper 30s for central and west central Wisconsin, with a chance for rain and snow mixing there. Then on Sunday, even cooler overall as that cold front fully pushes through, a chance for rain and snow mixing for the day from Oshkosh down to Madison and over towards Milwaukee. Otherwise, sunny or becoming sunny for everyone else. Mid to upper 30s for highs from Wisconsin Rapids through southern Wisconsin, low 30s around freezing from Wausau over towards Amory and Baldwin.
You said low 50. You said low 50s. You said low 50s.
Mid to low 50s.
Mid to low 50s. I now pause for effect so that everybody can again sigh and thank Jennifer, which she had nothing to do with it, but she's the messenger.
I have something for her.
There we go. There. That's what we need. We need more applause for meteorologists. Jennifer Wojcicki, thank you so much for the great news. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks, you too.
All right, we'll see you later now. Coming up in just a bit, we're going to talk to Tony Gonzalez about new initiatives by Republican legislators that may clear a path toward better licensing and better opportunities for undocumented immigrant workers in Wisconsin. Why the change compared to what we're seeing in Congress? We'll talk to Tony about that coming up in just over 60 seconds, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Wednesday morning. When you're here, you're up north, and you'll be back up here on the lake in just a bit.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Hi, I'm Pete Schwabe, an actor, writer, director, and comedian. Join me for my new show, Nightlight, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll chill after a long day in traffic, talking politics, or trying to look busy at work. We'll talk movies, TV, theater, music, and lots of fun Wisconsin stuff. So mix an old-fashioned and join the discussion. We'll go from Wisconsin to Hollywood and back, and you can still be in bed by 10. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 8 to 10. On Lake Air, 1260 AM, WLAK.
It's fully leaded education talk. Hard facts with a humorous twist. Check out Busted Pencils, Tuesdays at 7 on Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK and on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
There are new proposals that are being put forward by Republican legislators that could lead to professional licenses and in-state tuition for a subset of immigrants in Wisconsin. These are folks known as Dreamers. They are DACA recipients. DACA is a federal program called Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. These are the children of undocumented immigrants who arrive during a certain period in time. And the United States is the only country they've ever known. In many cases, Wisconsin is the only home they've ever known. They have been caught up in a lengthy immigration fight in Washington, D.C., which is still going on to this day. But other states are doing more to allow these Dreamers, this subset, to receive things like professional licenses. That may be a step closer to happening in Wisconsin. Tony Gonzalez has been working on that issue for years, talking to legislators. He's visited with us before and joins us again this morning. Tony, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. Very good. I feeling very good this morning. A lot of positive things happening, you know, besides all the bad stories that we hear every day from all around the world.
It's interesting because these proposals coming from Republican lawmakers, these are not too far off of what Governor Tony Evers has proposed, and he included them in his last budget bill. As we know, Republican legislators stripped out many of Evers' initiatives in the budget bill, and we had no idea if any of them would come back as separate bills. Now these are. How did you find out about this? What was your role in helping these Republican legislators see the wisdom of putting these into separate legislation?
Thank you. And first I'll say, you know, that these bills right now are actually bipartisan bills. You know, we have co-sponsors like Senator Lena Taylor from Milwaukee and Representative Sylvia Velez Ortiz-Velez, also from the Milwaukee area. And I believe also Representative Evan Goyke. And they're right now we have the principal on it that started it. This was Representative John Mako, yes, a Republican, and Joel Kitchens is in it right now. So this really started some months ago, back in a little bit before April, with a bill that was introduced to get DACA students to be able to join law enforcement in Wisconsin. And we have had great support with that from the police organizations and from the faith community and all that. We're a little short on that. You know, we're hoping for a couple more votes, and maybe this momentum right now with these three bills will bring that bill to the line, you know, to the goal line. So, you know, these bills, like you were saying correctly, you know, we've been kind of aware of them coming up sometime. And finally, you know, this week, they were announced on a press conference down in Madison. We expected it to come, but not as quick. We were hoping for the other bill to get through first. But being that, you know, the session will end in March or something, they got presented. Like you were saying, some of these were part of the governor's budget. But, you know, the inside fighting with Republicans and Democrats, you know, things weren't going to happen right there. But there was some expressed interest that these bills could come up as separate bills on their own. And, you know, we're seeing that happen right now. So we're hoping to get all the support that we have already gathered thus far and bring these three bills to the finish line. You know, I mean, they're very important. They're good and primarily for those individuals that have DACA and definitely for our state economy.
Yeah, the bills would allow DACA recipients to seek professional licenses in things like engineering and the building trades, nursing, teaching. Another bill would grant in-state tuition status to Wisconsin colleges. There's one that would lead to a tax credit for the fees that are incurred with renewing DACA status every couple of years. An article from Wisconsin Public Radio notes that about two dozen other states offer in-state tuition to DACA recipients. And so really, Tony, this sounds to me, and I didn't mean to take away from the Democratic legislators who are supporting this, that comes naturally, but that, you know, members of the Republican majority are also behind it is what seems to give it this big push. And the impression I get is that they are seeing everything that I just read off about the bills, that this is really about other states are competing with them from a labor, from a workforce standpoint, and that Wisconsin doesn't want to fall behind.
Oh, absolutely. Even, you know, as we were talking, you know, about the in-state tuition issue, you know, that Wisconsin since 2011 took it out. Funny enough, we have a reciprocal deal with Minnesota University, too. So if you are a DACA recipient that lives in Wisconsin, but you go to University of Minnesota, you get in-state tuition. So, you know, this is an easy way for people to, you know, say, you know what, I'm done with Wisconsin. I'm going on to the next state. I'm going down to Illinois. And we're losing all that talent that should be here, that considers Wisconsin home. They have their families here. And, you know, like I was saying yesterday, we have there's about 200,000 open jobs in the state of Wisconsin with a 2.5 unemployment rate. That makes probably availability at 77,000 people. There's a huge gap to fill. We got 6,500 DACA individuals that are very qualified, that are very well vetted, ready to work, have gone to school already. Why not tap into this? And, you know, that was the word on Monday at the press conference, you know, an acknowledgement of that let government get out the way and let these individuals work and hope that the federal government one day gets on their wheels and does something for all these individuals.
That's right. And again, this is a finite group in the sense that these applicants had to have arrived in the U.S. before age 16 and have lived here since June 15th of 2007. They have to renew that status every 2 years. They have to maintain a clean criminal record, receive regular background checks. But while that is a rather finite group of people who came here, you know, undocumented when their parents came, these are people who are now having children of their own. They're now of that age. And so this is an opportunity to, again, take at least one group of people who are, you know, often Mexican-American or Central American and put them on a path that has been so elusive for so long.
Oh, absolutely. You know, as you were saying, the numbers right now show that there is at least 250,000 sons and daughters of DACA recipients. And that's in an early stage because these people are still very young. So, you know, that number will do nothing but increase and, you know, they become a very important block and we have to think in the future. Not only that, humanitarily, we got to think, like you said at the beginning of the program, these are individuals that have known nothing else but the United States as a country. If you see them, they act, they're just around your neighborhood. You probably know one and two and not even know they're DACA and, they're ready to get going here. And one thing I always want to clear out, you know, and I'm glad you mentioned it, is that a lot of times, even on the media, they use the words dreamers and DACAs interchangeably. And I always say DACAs are dreamers, but dreamers are not DACAs. It was just a certain period of time that they had to become to sign up for that DACA program. Like you said, it's not a group that's going to grow. It's a finite group. And so, you know, there is no better options in America than to really look at this group and resolve some of those immigration issues that we have.
And something that's, like you said, long overdue and we'll look for that getting a committee hearing in the legislature as early as next week. Tony Gonzalez, thank you so much for the background on this. Strong work over the years. You've been trying to win over hearts and minds in the state capitol. We appreciate it. Have a great day, and we'll get an update again real soon.
Well, thank you for your support. Couldn't do it without the media.
Thank you, Tony. And we will
thank you.
We'll pause here and find out about the rise in school referendums around Wisconsin already, because there's still that multi-billion dollar budget surplus out there. We'll have a guest about that coming up next. You're up north.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A critical test vote today in the Senate on war funding for Ukraine, even though it could fail as Republicans fight over border security.
Ukraine desperately needs more ammunition and weapons from the U.S. as Russia's sheer size and brute force tactics generate steady gains on the battlefield. But Republican House Speaker Mike Johnson has drawn a line in the sand, declaring that any new funding is contingent on transformative change to our nation's border security laws. Republicans insist that Democrats and President Biden must agree to toughen U.S. asylum laws and build more border wall, among other demands.
That's ABC's Terry Moran in Washington. President Biden last night at a closed-door fundraiser in Massachusetts, saying that he probably wouldn't be running for re-election if Donald Trump wasn't in the race again. Trump at a Fox town hall last night asked whether he would retaliate against his political opponents if re-elected, telling Sean Hannity he wouldn't be a dictator except for on day one. This is ABC News.
Your hometown radio refreshed. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Tony Evers signed the bill to spend $500 million of public money to pay for upkeep at American Family Field on Tuesday. The bill eventually saw bipartisan support in the legislature after months of negotiations. Now negotiations can begin between the Brewers and the state-created ballpark district that owns the stadium to keep the team in Milwaukee through 2050. The Wisconsin State Senate's top Republican tells the Wisconsin Eye Public Affairs Network he disagrees with Assembly Speaker Robin Voss over withholding University of Wisconsin pay raises over diversity programming.
Why do you support holding back those pay raises for UW employees?
I don't support holding them back.
You think that money should go out the door?
Yeah, I do.
Republican Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu says withholding raises hurts a lot of people who have nothing to do with diversity programs. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Don't change the station, but do watch out for deer, would ya? You know, they're running around all willy-nilly. It is the Krebscast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies expected today, with daytime highs approaching 43. South winds, 10 to 15 miles per hour. Lows around 27 tonight. High of 50 tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 25.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
UpUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
From the Mississippi to the Apple and points eastward, you're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Try to see it my way. Do I have to keep on talking till I can go? While you see it your way.
On this day in 1965, the Beatles released We Can Work It Out, and Day Tripper was on the B-side of that one. Also, their album Rubber Soul was released in the U.S. on this day as well. A little bit of breaking news, a little melancholy news. Longtime legendary TV producer Norman Lear has passed away at the age of 101. And I wanted to tie a bow on our conversation just now about DACA and the new proposal by state legislators that would offer up professional licenses. Just to note that the DACA program, which was started during the Obama administration, former President Trump repeatedly talked about killing it and then did try to kill it in September of 2017. And if that had been the case, those dreamers would have been eligible for deportation and they would have lost access to education and to work visas. It was the U.S. Supreme Court that blocked the Trump administration's attempt to end DACA in a 5-4 ruling. And the ruling did not rule out the possibility that it could be brought back under different criteria. Brought back meaning bring back another attempt to end it. And so if Donald Trump were to win a new term next year, that is quite possibly something you would see, even as Republican and Democratic legislators in Wisconsin are looking to make it easier for DACA recipients to become the nurses and the teachers of tomorrow. And speaking of the teachers of tomorrow and today, there continue to be roadblocks toward education in Wisconsin and a properly funded education system in Wisconsin. We are already seeing talk about school referendums in the year 2024. Despite a multi-billion dollar surplus that Republican legislators continue sitting on because they'd rather try to push through tax cuts geared toward the very wealthy, something Governor Evers has vetoed a couple of times and would again. So let's try to explain the disconnect here with Denise Gomer Hutchinson, who joins us now to talk more from the Wisconsin Public Education Network. Denise, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. How are you?
Very good. Thank you so much for being here. It was nice to talk to you last week. We were at a gathering discussing the Public Education Network and advocacy for public education, which one of the things that gets in the way sometimes is when you see a continuing parade of school referendums on the ballot. And people say, well, but wait, there's this big budget surplus. So we thought this would be a good time to come on and ask you about all these school districts that are considering referendum efforts in 2024, why is all this happening already?
Well, you know, as regular increases to state aid education funding have been stagnant and referendum approved spending has allowed school districts to exceed the revenue caps, which is required because their limits have stopped for two decades. Public schools have been hurt by downward spiraling spending. And when that happens, you can't run high quality public schools and be effective and give children the very best that they can get.
Yeah, it really is just a case of the Republican legislature. Well, we're going to say that we, you know, are fiscally responsible, quote unquote. And if you want local taxpayers to pick up the slack, then you're going to have to do it that way. They do. And referendum spending certainly has gone up in Wisconsin as a result, Denise. But I'm not saying that that's a good thing. It just sounds like an imbalance in the partnership.
Well, it's a total imbalance. Mm-hmm. And it's really disappointing and it's disheartening because, like you said, there's this huge surplus sitting out there that we could be putting to very good use. They could have met what WPEN, Wisconsin Public Education Network, requested, and that was a $1,510 increase per student in the state of Wisconsin in public schools. They could have met that for you know, $450 million. Well under their $8 billion surplus.
And instead, you've got referendum spending that is now at $650 million last year, you know, up from just $32 million back in the year 2000. But that's also because, you know, school districts have gone without increases that were adjusted for inflation, or shall we say for the cost of living. And I still can't believe I'm saying this, for 16 years. What's the impact when school districts go 16 years without cost of living increases from the legislature?
Well, it's staggering. I mean, well, Adams Friendship is a perfect example. If they wouldn't have been able to pass their referendum that they passed this last year, they were looking at dissolving their school district because they just couldn't keep doing it any longer. And then you have school districts out there saying, we have two electrical outlets in our classrooms. You know what electronics are like in public schools right now. That's just ridiculous to have two electrical outlets. And you have other superintendents that say, we cannot cut our way to excellence. So we have an increase in mandates. We have an increase in requirements for our public schools. We have a decrease or a stagnant increase in funding to our public schools. And you can't do your maintenance projects. So they fall to the wayside, and then they fall to the wayside some more. And then you get in a situation where you have things breaking down and you have serious needs within your buildings. Think of your own home. You know, you don't go 16 years without or 20 years without a new roof. You know, I mean, it's crazy. It is absolutely crazy. And it's hurtful.
It is. And look, we're not looking to necessarily, you know, pit one group against another. No. I'm just simply going to note, Governor Evers was at home plate at American Family Field yesterday with a big group of folks signing legislation that will provide, you know, millions and millions of dollars to renovate a stadium that is 22 years old. There's a lot of school buildings that are a little bit older than 22 years old. And so last year in April, there were 82 referendum initiatives on the ballot statewide. Do we think we're going to see more than that in 2024?
There's a very good possibility. And we just don't know what the requirements are going to be of taxpayers in our communities. And so there are a lot of schools out there right now doing surveys and talking to their public and their communities and saying, this is what we need to do. We need to replace boilers. We need to put on a new roof. We need to redo our parking lot so it's not potholes, so your cars aren't ruined when you're dropping your kids off for school. We need to pay for hot lunch for kids who don't have the money to pay for hot lunch. We need to pay for the unfunded mandates that are being required of us to pay. And we're having to pay for transportation to private schools, and we're having to pay for IEPs, individual education plans, for kids going to private schools. And all of that on top of not having any new real spendable money.
Right. And again, I have certainly mentioned the voucher school program many times. Even if you took that away, and you can't because it's just huge, but just the day-to-day expenses of running a public school district continue adding up without that legislative support. So what options do the districts have?
Well, they can't cut anymore. They've already cut. They've already changed their insurance benefits. They've already changed. They're not refilling positions when people retire or quit. They're doubling up on the requirements of what people have to do. And they're going to ask their taxpayers to help them create superb, excellent schools in their communities. And here's the important thing to understand and remember is that statewide, overwhelmingly, people in the state of Wisconsin really do support their public schools. And they believe in their public schools, and they believe in the education that's being delivered to children in public schools around the state of Wisconsin. It's just a question of knowing what the state of Wisconsin government is choosing not to do.
Right. And in just a just a cursory look online yesterday. And again, this is not to say that this is or isn't happening in any of these communities, but in these communities, there's already been discussion about referendums in 2024. River Falls, Menominee, Amaro, Platteville, Burlington, Abbotsford, Evansville, Green Bay, Williams Bay, Eau Claire, North Lake, West Bend. Again, that's a partial list, just a first blush of districts that are talking about maybe referendums in 2024, which leads to this question. There's certainly going to be opposition expressed at those school boards and others over these next, you know, several weeks or months about referendums. For those folks that are supportive of public education in these districts and others, what's the role that they can play to be advocates for their public schools?
Well, they can do exactly that. They can be advocates. They can get involved in, they can talk to their board members and find out all the details so that they can talk sensibly and intelligently in their communities about why this is important and why it's necessary and what the real value is of passing these referendums and supporting their public schools. And you don't have to just be someone who has children in school, because everyone in a community, our public schools are the heart of our community, and everybody in the community is well served by having a high quality public school in their community. And so getting involved with Wisconsin Public Education Network, getting involved with the PTO or the community organization supporting the public school in the community, all of those things, because especially in our smaller communities around the state of Wisconsin, the public schools are the real center and the hub. And, you know, theater productions happen there. People go and watch sporting events. If you have a great public school in your community that's doing really well in their sports and their activities and their theater, the community pours out to get to see these things because it may be their only source to get to come and participate and be engaged in their community.
And one other thing that people can do, because there is still time, the window just opened up last week for people to take out papers to run for their local school board. Now, there's only another 3.5 weeks or so to get that paperwork in, but that is still something that is very much an option for public education advocates here in the month of December, right?
You bet it is. And we really hope everyone who is if you believe that our kids are critical for our future and that their success in their public schools is critical, and you believe in high quality public schools, get out there and run for office. Be a school board member, make a difference in your community, be engaged and be involved, because we also have other things that need to be done, because city councils and county boards need pro public education members on those boards and those commissions as well.
And this all is a result, this particular advocacy from the Wisconsin Public Education Network. And I'll put that address up on screen for the video feed as well, but it's wisconsinnetwork.org. Again, wisconsinnetwork.org. What do you tell folks about the Public Education Network, what it is, what it represents?
We advocate for children all across the state of Wisconsin to have high quality public schools that are equal no matter where you live in the state of Wisconsin. And right now that's not happening because of the funding in our public schools. And if you're a declining enrollment district or you're in a smaller community, you may have been a low spending district 16 years ago. And so you haven't been able to make up for those differences. And if your school isn't big and growing, you haven't been able to make up. And so you're continuing to lose every single day. And so we're out there advocating for you. We help people build community organizations to support their public schools, because we really believe that every school and every kid deserves a great public school. And we're going to help make that happen.
Denise Gommer-Hutchinson is from the Wisconsin Public Education Network, one of the team members there. Somebody I'm sure we'll be talking as we continue on our homeroom segment every Wednesday, talking about public education in Wisconsin and making sure that we have the kind of network that works for every kid right in Wisconsin. And we appreciate that so much, Denise. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
Great being here. Have a great day.
All right. And when we come back, Todd Alba of the conveniently named Todd Alba Show will be along as well. We're going to talk about some of his seedy past that I learned about very recently, and ask him to defend his record and his musical morality. I'll explain more right after this. You're up north.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
I learned a little something listening to the Todd Alba Show yesterday. Todd Alba was an expert at playing and apparently bumping and grinding to the stripper, the staple of pep bands everywhere. Explain this weird gyrating that you used to do with unsuspecting victims trying to attend an innocent sporting event, Todd Alba.
Used to? What do you mean used to? What do you think I did last Friday night? No, I'm kidding. Actually, I was quite low last Friday night.
Yeah, that's right. Wait a minute.
No, this is a true story. I'm not sure what prompted it yesterday on the show. But back in high school in Richland Center in Southwest Wisconsin, our high school band director, Lauren Jensen, who made history when she became the first woman to march in the drum line for the University of Wisconsin-Madison Marching Band under Mike LaCrone, the iconic band director. And if you've ever seen the Badger Band, the cymbal players, after they clash the cymbals, either one-on-one or together, they twirl the cymbals, and it's spectacular. And so I was the first person that she taught how to do this to in high school band. So people kind of liked it. And so in pep band, we would play that music, the stripper. And at first it started me just kind of twirling the cymbals on stage. And somehow, I can't remember whether it was just a boring game or whatever, I ended up jumping off the stage and kind of doing the stop at the top step and going out to the center court. And people loved it. And then I would get to the point where I would pick on a couple of female teachers that were not giving me a good grade, who were sitting in the audience. And I would go over, and that, of course, not give them an actual proper lap dance, but kind of, you know, do a little shtick around them and embarrass them to tears. And the audience would give me standing ovations, you understand? So, and a star was born.
So twirling cymbals is a gateway drug to public exhibitionism, is really what we're getting at here.
Welcome to the last episode of Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
It may be a better broadcast. It gave me the confidence that I needed. You understand?
Oh, you're out there, all right. You are out there. There's nothing buttoned down about Todd Alba, public or private. So good on you. Yeah. But I heard that story and I thought, well, all we need now is just to bring up that David Rose classic tune and see if it can.
Oh, here we go.
Could you still twirl a cymbal if we gave it to you?
I think I could. Yeah. The key is you have to have in the leather straps have to be kind of the right length, and you kind of the key is how you twirl or how you put the leather strap around your middle and pointer finger in order to, and then it's all the wrist, as they say.
That just sounds like a recipe for an orthopod. You know?
When you did one of your patented dances, Did any of your teachers say like, ugh, more like Todd Lesbaugh? Am I right?
What is this from? No. Here's this note from somebody on Facebook. Heather Alba Galoy, is it?
That's my sister. Don't quit.
And he kept a trench coat in his backpack to grab at a moment's notice. This is your sister putting this on Facebook?
Now that may be
I already love you. You're great.
Heather, remember the happy birthday greetings? Now I send them even more. You're clearly the better sibling involved in all this.
That is absolutely true. And by the way, you were talking last segment about educators. My sister is a public educator in the Eau Claire School District, as is my brother-in-law. So a shout out to them. A great segment before I came on.
Let me tell you about my lap dances. By the way, shout out to teachers. Am I right?
Well, it all started because of a great teacher.
They are the heroes.
Yes. It all comes to that. Now, not everybody is necessarily a public education advocate as passionately as maybe some of the folks on this broadcast here. I'm looking just at some of the Facebook comments from our last segment. We've got one of our usual fans who says, this all sounds like the California school system. They spend $70,000 per student.
No, they don't.
I don't think anybody's advocating to spend $70,000, but clearly there's a difference between the, I don't have the numbers in front of me, it's something like $9,000 per public school student versus, $15,000 for voucher school student or something like that. There's things are a little out of whack in system this day.
I'm sorry, Pat. I'm going to assign the winner ding to a listener. Back in my day, all you needed was a belt to put your books in around and you walk to school.
People I think get, here's my quick take on it, is that I think that back in Act 10, and we've talked about this before, that Scott Walker, and of course I was working for the only Republican, Dale Schultz at the time, that voted against Act 10 in 2011. And because Dale said at the time, what we're going to do here is create a two-class education system. And all these years later, it turns out he was right. But what Scott Walker did is unforgivable. He put out misinformation that divided people. I mean, most of our educators, our teachers, our public educators, are our neighbors, our friends and neighbors. And it's what's focused in on is, the salary. These people are, making $45,000 a year or whatever it is. And what they don't talk about is, as your former guest did, your previous guest, the IEP, the individual education plan, which teachers have to sit down with kids who are struggling, either behavioral or education. I have dyslexia. It wasn't diagnosed in school, not until I got way into college. And a lot of kids out there are struggling with things like dyslexia. The teachers are trying to do the work of other people and aren't getting paid for it. They don't get prep periods. Some of them don't even get a proper lunch period. All these things, teachers, healthcare benefits have doubled for many teachers. These things don't get the proper attention, and they're no longer able to bargain since Act 10.
Right, which, again, the imbalance has only grown, and I am among many who would say that's not by accident.
No, it's intentional to try to break the political teachers union or the teachers unit for political purposes.
Yeah. We'll close now on just a few moments of admiration for the passing of Norman Lear at age 101, as Greg notes on his on-screen title here. I don't know that you could do – can you do something like that again, like what Norman Lear did with All in the Family and the Jeffersons and Maude? And I'd even go back to Mel Brooks and Blazing Saddles and some of the ways that you shine a mirror back on parts of society in the hopes that mockery might make a difference. I think it did for people like me who looked at the Archie Bunkers and said, well, I don't want that to be me. But I'm not sure anybody takes those kinds of chances anymore.
I literally just had this conversation with my producer, one of my producers, Chris Pauls, yesterday. I think the answer is no, at least not to that degree. Some of these jokes, as you said, was mockery that was supposed to shine a mirror back. I don't think you could do that. Good Times, The Jeffersons, Maude, All in the Family, One Day at a Time, all these classic iconic sitcoms that Norman Lear gave us.
Thoroughly disagree with both of you. Thoroughly.
Well, now you know
we're 30 seconds from being done with the show.
You see where we're coming back to at 6:06 tomorrow morning.
So thoroughly disagree.
Todd Alba at noon today. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
All right. Thanks. Thank you, Greg. Thanks to all of you for being with us. You will hear Todd again at noon, but we hope to see you back here at 6 o'clock on a Thursday morning. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
From the heart of the St. Croix Valley, we're in touch with you. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News.